This podcast is part of the Acast Creator Network.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to The Stand with Andy Dunphy. Now, we have most weekends. Spectacular is a good description of the Premier League for one reason or another, but this weekend it certainly has been spectacular. Liverpool beating Manchester United 7-0. It's the worst defeat United have suffered since 1931, when Wolves, who were the big club, a big club in those days, beat them 7-0. And of course, Arsenal also produced a miracle 7 minutes into overtime. A young lad called Reece Nelson scored a winner, which may well make all the difference when the trophies are handed out at the end of the season. It gave Arsenal a 3-2 win. I'm joined now by Liam Brady and John Giles to talk about those games and others as well this weekend. John, let me start with you and Liverpool's savage performance against Manchester United. You thought they'd beat United. I thought before the game they'd beat United, but United weathered the storm after 25 minutes, which usually means you're all right. But a very good goal by this guy, Gakpo, who they bought from the Netherlands, gave them a 1-0 lead at halftime. And after that, United collapsed. What was your take on the game, John? Was it a question of United being exposed or Liverpool just playing out of this world football?
I would say it's usually a combination of both, Eamon.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not doing what you should be doing, which I don't think United were, for example, and Liverpool then took charge of the situation and made the most of it. I mean, I was a bit worried, if that's the word, for Manchester United at the start when, for example, I mean, I think it's been quite well known in the soccer game and to viewers that, Alexander Arnold is not a good defender.
Yeah.
Well, actually, United played without a left winger.
Yeah, they had Fernandes out there.
Well, he wasn't. He was more midfield, Eamon. Fernandes is not a left winger who takes and goes past him. I mean, okay, he was left side, but he wasn't a left winger. And even if he was getting the ball, he wasn't going to go back past Alexander in the way that wingers do. Yeah. So United have a few wingers. And I think the first thing he should be looking for was, okay, if we can expose Alexander, we'll do so. There was no sign of that whatsoever.
Yeah.
So, you know, from United's point of view, Liverpool really, really did do the business in the second half. They were absolutely brilliant and thoroughly deserved what they did. So it was a bad, bad day for Manchester United. There's no doubt about that. There's a lot of criticism afterwards about Fernandes, and I agree with it totally. Him and always moan Fred. Was in a crisis and had a go at him. Keane had a go and never had a go at Fernandes, who's the captain, as we know.
Yeah.
And all he did was moan and moan and moan during the match. And so yeah. I think the manager in United still has a big, big job to do for the rest of this season.
Yeah, I mean, Gary Neville described Fernandes as a disgrace. He is the captain of the team at the moment. Liam, I and you... Perhaps I'm not speaking for you and John. I had the impression that Erik Ten Hag had improved United, given them a structure, particularly at the back. You knew what the team was going to be most weeks, and it was a big improvement. They got up as high as third in the league. Yesterday, they were torn to shreds by a team, Liverpool, who I thought, I would have said a fortnight ago, were gone. What happened?
Well, this is the great thing about football, Eamon, isn't it? You know, these things can happen. We've pointed out over recent weeks that Manchester United have been getting results, and Ten Hag has done a very good job, and they've also got a trophy under their belt, winning the Carabao Cup a week ago, and challenging for the league up till this weekend. What happened? Well, United were in the game, weren't they, in the first half? And they had a couple of chances. Fernandes at the far post had a header where Alexander-Arnold lost him again, and he had it was a good chance. I wouldn't say it was a great chance, but it was a good chance. Rashford had a brilliant chance when he was knocked in through, and he mishit his volley. So United were well and truly in it, but they got exposed for some horrific defending, Eamon, you know. Yes. And they've been getting away with a few games this week. I think John and I have highlighted it with you that, against Leeds, they could have been two down. Leicester could have been three up at Old Trafford.
Yes.
The goalkeeper, De Gea, saved United. So Ten Hag, as John says, has a difficult job to do, you know. In the second half, two or three threw the towel in, Fernandes being one of them, and Gary Neville was right to highlight him. John's been on about him for weeks now, hasn't he? You know. And I thought it was disgraceful. He's holding his face when he got touched on the chest, you know.
Yep.
Terrible, terrible things that fella was up to at the weekend. He just threw the towel in. I thought Shaw threw the towel in, the left back.
Yeah.
He was back to his very, very worst. Fred went missing. And of course, anytime United attacked them and Liverpool got the ball, you know what Liverpool are like on the break. And it was the first time, really, that the three forwards have clicked. Nunes, Gakpo and Salah. It was the first time I've seen them all three have really good game all together. And I think this Gakpo is a real player, and I think Nunes is a real player.
Yes.
He's been missing chances, but it looks like he's found his confidence now, Eamon. And, you know, the three of them up front will give a lot of teams problems. Still think they're short of midfield, Liverpool, but it was a great win, but kind of a freak win. And sometimes these things happen, and Man United have got to dust themselves down and keep on working. You know, he's got a big job on his hand, Ten Hag, to make United into realistic Premiership winners and Champions League winners. That's what that club is all about, Eamon, but they're a long way off it.
Yeah, I'd agree, John. I'm sure you would as well. The Liverpool performance, I mean, in recent weeks, John, Nunes has looked better and better, more confident. He's shown a lot of character, and he's quite young. He's only 23.
Yeah.
But he's shown a lot of character, even though he missed some chances in his early games. He's shown he's a powerhouse. This lad, Gakpo, he played for the Netherlands in the World Cup. He played really well yesterday. He didn't cost a king's ransom. 40 million is not a lot these days. But they seem to be integrated into the team now. Nunes in particular. Salah was at his best again. The performance they put on in the second half was a lot like the performance they put in the first half against Real Madrid. It's hard to predict Liverpool, but when they're in that mood, playing in that high tempo with all those really good forwards, they're still very relevant, and they're fighting now for a top four place, and they've got every chance of getting it.
Yeah, well, if they keep playing, Eamon, the way they played last night, which has been the problem.
Yeah.
You know, what we've been read in the last few weeks, that the midfield players are gone. They're finished.
Yeah.
They're gone. Right? They weren't gone last night.
No. Right? Well, I thought Henderson played well, and I think Henderson still has a contribution to make. But he has played young, very young players there. And it's very, very difficult for a young player to come into a side like that.
Yeah, but then you don't play them.
Yeah, you exactly. Know,
the,
yeah.
What we keep reading, what I keep reading, is that all the midfield players are too old now and they're gone. It's not true.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a question. I think it's a question of attitude with Liverpool, Eamon. Like, they've been a great team for a few seasons.
Yes.
And all, like, if you look at say that we're talking about the midfield, when they played Bournemouth and these teams that they've been beaten with, I mean, the midfield players at Liverpool are far better than the opposition that they played against.
Yes.
So it's a question of attitude, Eamon. That's yes. The big thing with Liverpool. Do they have the same attitude as they had last year?
Yeah.
And then when it comes to the big matches like last night, now they have the attitude.
Yeah.
But it's a hard thing in football, having done what Liverpool did, to maintain that attitude week in, week out, year in, year in, year in, year out.
Yes.
And when it comes to Manchester United last night, they know this is a big game.
Yes.
This is a big game. We saw a different Liverpool to the Liverpool that we've seen in recent weeks.
Yeah.
So it's back to attitude again, Eamon. You know, they have the players. They definitely have the players. The midfield players are not all finished. They've been better played than the players that the better midfields than the players that play the midfields have played against in recent times.
Yeah.
So it's back to attitude all the time, Eamon. And if Liverpool showed that last night, they were brilliant. Manchester United weren't. I mean, I might have said to you just today talking. I mean, in Ten Hag's place. I mean, one of the biggest the problems for Liverpool over the last few weeks or few months is that Alexander hasn't been doing his job at right back.
Yeah.
Well, Manu played without a left winger.
They did. No, it was incredible. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, that's big stuff. You know, when you're talking about the manager doing his job and doing it in a certain way, that's big stuff. And in the end, they paid a price for it, because you said the new lads up front are really good players. They haven't had the best of time because they're settling in.
Yes.
Along with Salah, who's great. But these lads are settling in now. But it's attitude, Eamon. They've been there a few weeks. I know they're new. But all Liverpool need now from the end of the season is the attitude that they had last night. And there's no doubt they'll finish in the top four.
Right. And Tottenham are ahead of them. Manchester United are ahead of them. I think they're 7 points behind United. But they played the same number of games. Liam, I'm not accusing you, but I certainly plead guilty to thinking this fella, Ten Hag, he got rid of Ronaldo. I mean, Rashford slept in one morning and dropped him for the next game. He showed discipline. They got Casemiro, who's been a good buy for them so far, although he didn't look fit yesterday and he certainly didn't live up to all the hype that's been around him. How much does he need to have a Manchester United team that is consistently able to challenge the best sides in the league?
I think he needs a good few players, Eamon, to be quite honest.
Yeah.
Like, the ones he's brought in, I've still got question marks about them, you know.
Yeah, Weghorst.
Anthony.
Yeah.
I was just about to mention Weghorst. But Anthony, I haven't seen it from him, apart from a few flashy things.
Yeah.
Weghorst, I haven't seen him have a good game yet for Manchester United, you know. And the lad Martinez at the back, you know, he's a tough lad, and so, but he's not that quick, and he's very, very small. And, you know, so I think they haven't had a really good midfield player, a creative midfield player. Casemiro's not a creative midfield.
No, yeah.
Fernandes can give you a bit of creativity, all right, when it's on a good day, but I don't like him as a person, Fernandes, and I don't think he's captain material, to be quite honest. And Neville went for him yesterday, Gary Neville, and that's the first time that anybody in England has really, you know, said what we've been saying for a long time.
Yeah, it's true that he's captain of the club. And he has responsibilities. John, you've said it to me time after time. Look at him pointing at other players, throwing his hands up in the air, faking an injury. As Liam said, he faked it. Went down holding his face yesterday. No one had touched his face or anything. He just got brushed on the chest. So he's not really a player you'd build a side around, is he?
I wouldn't, Eamon.
Yeah.
I think he's a very talented individual. There's no doubt about that, and playing. But every time I see him in any match he's playing, he's at the referee, him and Fred, between them. always at the referee instead of getting on with the job that needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't, like Liam is, I think, saying, I don't trust him, Eamon, to get out in a match like that last night and in a big match to do the business.
Yeah.
When the going is good, he's good.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of players like that, Sunshine Boys, they used to call them years ago. Eamon.
Exactly.
You know,
yeah.
And I think he's a Sunshine Boy. When the going's going well, he's a very, very talented lad. But when you get a match like last night, where you want him in there, really, really doing his stuff in a hard game, really hard game, he's not there.
No.
I think he was looking to come off last night, wasn't he?
Or he was, yeah.
You know, that attitude and Fred and his up at the referee at them all the time, as if that's really, really important part of the game. Get on with the game and get it done. You don't see that, Eamon.
No.
You know, you just don't see that with Manchester United.
No, you don't see it with Arsenal these days either, Liam. You were at the Emirates on Saturday. They got a scare from Bournemouth and this young lad, Reece Nelson, another homegrown player, which is great credit to you and others who were working in the around the academy. You were head of the academy. He really did his stuff. Is he a good player anyway? But I mean, how are you feeling as the seconds ticked away? And
well, let me tell you, Eamon, it was the most extraordinary game I've been at for a long time. I saw the quickest goal I've ever seen live. 9 seconds, Bournemouth scored.
Yep.
Straight from the kickoff, down the right wing, crossed it in. Our defence was all over the place. And Billings put it in the back of the net. And then I did get scared when Bournemouth scored their second goal. You know, 2-0 up with about half an hour to play. You think, are you dropping points here, you know? But they showed great attitude, Arsenal. Kept playing, kept doing their stuff. And Reece Nelson, he put him on for Emile Smith-Rowe, who had a hand in the first goal. That part he scored. And then Reece Nelson made the second goal. And he got an absolute brilliant, brilliant goal to win the match 3-2. And that was in the 97th minute. So I think that's the latest goal I've ever seen. As well as I've seen the earliest goal live, it was the latest goal. And what a winning goal it was too. But it got a scare. It wasn't all good stuff from Arsenal. You know, that's now Aston Villa. They were twice ahead of us a couple of times. So, yeah, I think Arsenal have got a great chance of winning the league. But I'd have to say that Man City probably, with the experience, are good favourites, Eamon, you know.
Yeah, and I seem to remember, Liam, when Arsene Wenger's teams were at their best, there was often last-minute jobs that they'd lay siege to a goal and they'd get their goal late. When Manchester United and Alex Ferguson were renowned for doing it at the Stretford End, and Arsenal, the great Arsenal teams, were a bit like that as well. But
I think that's the sign of a good team, Eamon.
Yes.
A sign that a team that believes in itself will keep going to the very end. Certainly Manchester United had it. They scored loads of goals and none better example than the win against Bayern Munich in the European Cup final, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, but Arsenal had that, and they have it this season as well. That's about 4 late goals, one at Aston Villa, one that beat Manchester United, and one on Saturday. You know, we've had 3 or 4 really late goals, and that's the sign of a good team.
Yeah, and you were saying last week to us that they have these opportunities now, Bournemouth being one of them, where they're playing teams that they should be able to beat. So, John, the question about Arsenal, I suppose, it's they have the young, talented players. He's done a really good job there, Arteta. The question is whether Manchester City's experience, they've won 4 of the last 5 Premier Leagues, will stand them in good stead. And one of the things that we were talking during the Manchester City-Newcastle game on Saturday, you were very happy to see Phil Foden start because he's been out of the team for a couple of months, scored a great goal, played really well too.
Yeah.
Do you think City might just edge it with experience?
Oh, well, Arsenal are doing their stuff, Eamon, to win the matches. And it's a plus and minus situation as far as I'm concerned with Arsenal. First of all, you shouldn't really be going 2-0 behind.
Yeah.
Now, what's really good about Arsenal is they haven't done that, Eamon, which you shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
They respond to it brilliantly.
Yeah.
Don't lose their heads, keep playing and that. So it ends up as a plus rather than a minus.
Yeah.
But you have to get rid of those minuses.
Yeah.
Pretty quickly.
Yeah.
You know, coming from behind is great, but you have to give it to the opposition to get in front before you come behind yourself. So Arsenal have got to learn from that. They've learned brilliantly to come from behind when the other team, the opposition, have gone, and it takes a lot to do that. Now it gets to the easier part, which should be the easier part. Don't let those teams get in front.
Yeah.
Right? In Man City's situation, I think if I was backing anybody to win it now, I'd back Arsenal to win it.
Right. Okay,
but
that's
interesting. They've got to learn from these situations. I mean, what they're doing at the moment, they're doing the hardest part in football, is keeping your heads and coming back to win from two down. It's brilliant. But you have to say, why go two down in the first place? Then it's much easier. You can still win 3-0. That's my take on it. From Manchester City's point of view, they're never going to give up, Eamon.
No.
You know, Foden has come back into the game. They played against Newcastle, which could have been a very difficult game, really, but finished up winning it comfortably, in my opinion. So, if I was putting money on it now to win it, I'd go with Arsenal, but I wouldn't put a lot of money on it with Manchester City getting behind them.
Yeah, one of the things, Liam, about City is that he left Foden out for a couple of months almost. De Bruyne, he took De Bruyne off just, I think, very early in the second half. After 65 minutes, he put Bernardo Silva on instead of De Bruyne. Bernardo Silva has been in and out of the team. One player who hasn't been out of the team is Grealish, who today, I can tell you, signed a $10 million a year sterling boot deal. So he did, with Puma, apparently Nike or agent. But there you go. That's something you guys must think about now and again. City, Liam, they have the talent, but they still don't look as good as they've looked in the years when they won it.
Well, I don't know about that, Eamon. You know, they haven't done anything silly in recent weeks. I think there was one draw, maybe, but they've been winning games that they should win. And,
yes,
Foden has made a comeback, and I don't know whether Guardiola thought he was a little bit overweight. He wasn't looking after himself properly, maybe, and he left him out. But he certainly come back looking a different player. He wants to prove himself. And he's a big, big player for them, as is Silva, as is De Bruyne. And they've got Haaland up front. So they've got they've got strength in abundance everywhere.
Yes.
They haven't got a weak player in the team. It's just whether Guardiola might mess about with the defence a bit or mess around tactically, and they make a complacent slip up that might give Arsenal a better chance of winning the league. But I only saw the highlights of that game against Newcastle. But I would agree with John that they deserve to win Man City. And, they're going to be there. You know, Arsenal can only make very few mistakes if they're going to win this league.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue check mark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Liam, Brighton, they gave West Ham a hiding, 4-0, and David Moyes is in trouble. West Ham just above Leeds, very near the bottom, 3. They keep what looks like overperforming, Liam. They got rid of, well, they didn't get rid of their coach. He left them, Graham Potter, to go to Chelsea. They have another good coach now, another decent side, and a young Irish lad called Evan Ferguson. We talked about him last week. I think you knew his family because he's from Whitehall or around there. 4-0 against West Ham is a very good result, and, you know, they're in top half of the table, and that's your local club. It's an amazing sort of achievement for a club the size of Brighton to establish themselves in the Premier League as they appear to have.
Well, I mean, I was manager down there in the 90s, in 93, 94. The club didn't have money whatsoever. You know, the most money I had to spend on a player was £15,000. That was my highest transfer. So the club was really, really in a bad situation. But good local people rescued the club down there, and they built it up slowly but surely. And now they've got a marvellous stadium in the Downs in Sussex, about 20 minutes from Brighton. And they have a smashing team as well. Graham Potter did a brilliant job for them, as several managers even before that.
Yeah, Chris Hughton.
He did a really good job for him. And this Roberto De Serbi, I think his name is, he's an Italian. I hadn't heard of him, but he'd done a decent job at Sassuolo in Italy, which would be a very, very small team. And this is what they do, Brighton. They do their homework on managers and do their homework on players. That, you know, they could have sold the midfield player Caicedo to Arsenal for 70 million. But now, from a club that was like 30 years ago gone out of business and just disappearing out of the Football League, they're able to turn down 70 million now from Arsenal, which just says it all, doesn't it? And the boy Ferguson, I have a lot of friends who are season ticket holders, and he's doing a great job as Ferguson. He's only 18 years of age, but he's leading the line, and he played very well on Saturday. They didn't win. Or he didn't score, should I say. They won 4-0, and he had a hand in a couple of the goals. So it's a great story. And with two games coming up for Ireland and later on this month, surely that lad must figure.
I haven't seen much of him, Liam, but from what I have seen, he can play. I mean, he's not...
Yeah, he's like an old-fashioned target man centre-forward, you know.
Yeah.
He's good in the air. He holds the ball up. He's neat and tidy. He's also intelligent at bringing... linking up play and things like that. So I think he's going to be a real plus for Ireland and hopefully for Brighton going forward.
Right, John, just thinking about David Moyes, West Ham finished 7th last season, 7th the season before, got into Europe. I feel really sorry for him. I have great respect for what he did at Everton for so long and just the way he conducts himself. It's a great shame to see him in trouble, but they're right down a point in front of the Leeds, John. Just above the bottom 3.
Yeah. It's gone bad, Eamon.
Yeah.
It happens in clubs, you know, you hear about it and you don't really know why. You know, they finished well up the table last year. They spent quite a bit of money by their standards in the summer. And they're in big trouble.
Yeah.
You know, you just don't know in football. You know, players go against the manager. They don't like him as much. It's very, very difficult to know. But it does happen.
Yeah.
And they're in big trouble now. And there's no doubt about it.
I was going to ask you and Liam a question about Declan Rice. Graham Souness had a go. Well, not a go at him. He said he's not a great midfield player because the two things he lacks are goals and assists. And then Keane came out the other night and he picked up where Graham had left off. He said the same thing as, but Roy has a bit of skin in that game because he was coaching the Irish team with Martin O'Neill when they didn't give him a cap to secure him for Ireland. But the question I'm going to ask both of you is, I think he's a great player. I think if he went to a big club like Arsenal, like Chelsea, like Liverpool, he'd be, you know, the reason he hasn't scored goals for West Ham or made many perhaps is what he's got around him. What's your view of him?
Yeah, well, to be honest, I don't know if we spoke about this before. I mean, but Graham Souness said it, that three things for midfield players. You know, there's making goals, stopping goals, and there's three elements in it.
Yeah.
And he has won. Now, I must be honest, I was totally in agreement with what he said.
Right.
On that. I think he's an exceptionally good player at what he does.
Yeah.
But if you look at the overall, does he score many goals, Eamon?
No.
No. Does he make many goals?
No.
No. But he does a great job with him. He's a real athlete and covers the ground brilliantly at what he does. You know?
Yes.
You get it, win it, you give it, you give it. But he doesn't fit, I think. Graham was on about those three elements in the midfield for the great players. And he said he fitted one of them.
Yes.
Now, I'm a great admirer of Rice, but I would agree with what Graham said.
Right. Liam, I'll ask you the same question. I'm not quoting Graham out of context, and John didn't either. It's exactly what he said. And, well, nobody better to ask than you and John. I think it's probably because he's playing for West Ham. I think he probably could also play centre half. He's one of those players, but I really do admire him. What's your take on Graham's definition of a great midfield player?
I think he was talking about himself, wasn't he? He likes talking about himself, Graham. He was a great midfield
player. And he has to be called Graham as well.
He was a great player, soon as well.
Yes, he was,
and he could score goals from distance.
Yeah.
Funny enough, Rice got one last week, you know.
Yep.
He must have been reading what Souness said about him. He got a lovely bender against Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
You know, he could do with that, adding that to his game. I don't think he's ever going to be a creative player that can pick out a through pass for a forward making a good run. I don't think he's got that vision of creativity.
Right.
I think what he has, probably the best side of his game, is his, how he competes in the middle of the park and gets his foot in and wins the ball. Eh?
Yes.
So he will go to a big club. Someone will take him, and we'll see whether your theory is right, that he will go on to be, you know, a great midfield player. But at the moment, I would have my reservations, as John does and as Graham does.
Okay. John, just a final question to both you and Liam, but to you first, John. Leeds United lost at Chelsea. They only got beat 1-0 because Chelsea aren't getting results, but they're certainly spending money, $600 million so far and counting. I think you saw the match, and I'm hoping, I like Leeds, I like you, I love you, and I like Leeds. I don't want to see your team go down, but they're right on the cut line, John.
Yeah.
Fourth from bottom. What's your take on it?
I think they'll get away with it, Eamon.
Right.
I saw the Saints play Leicester last week.
Yeah.
The Saints won.
Yeah.
One of the worst games I've ever seen in my life.
Yes.
I saw Forest against Everton, and that was one of the worst games I've ever seen in my life. And I think Leeds have enough to get out of it, Eamon.
Right.
Just about. I think I haven't looked at the teams that I actually looked at that are down there and in trouble. I just have a feeling for them that they've enough in the team to get it to get out of the relegation.
Right, Liam, you don't have a strong preference, I'm sure, except you don't want John to be upset, do you?
No, I love John as well. Leeds are a big club, you know, and they've done great to come from where they've come from. They had to battle hard to get out of that championship for many years. And now they're back where they belong. There's about seven teams that could go down. It starts at Crystal Palace, really. And work your way down. Forest are in it. West Ham are in it. Southampton, you know. Yeah. All these teams are in Wolves. All these teams are in trouble, you know.
Leicester, big time.
Leicester, look at them. They got a couple of results a month ago, and they thought, oh, well, they're out of it. Now they're back in it. You know, this is the Premier League. You know, it's fascinating. And the battle for relegation, or to avoid relegation this year, is fascinating.
Okay, John Giles and Liam Brady, two of the greatest midfield players there's ever been, no question, tick every box and a couple of other boxes as well. Grateful to John and Liam, to all of you for listening. That's all we have time for now. We'll talk to you soon.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love and be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.